Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that as we come together to worship, to look into the Word of God, that we might hear and heed and apply to our lives what you have to say in your book. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. New Testament talks a lot about various judgments. Some of them are not always easy to understand what they're all about. One judgment I like is the one that Jesus bore for me. When Jesus went to the cross, he bore the judgment that was due for my sins. As someone said, he paid a debt he did not owe, because I owed a debt I could not pay. And he paid the debt for my sin. Think back for just a moment to the day when you realized that you needed Jesus as your Savior. It may have been a long time ago. It may have been a lot shorter time. But there was a day when you realized, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. That's for every one of us. And as a Christian, Jesus bore my sins in his own body when he died on the cross. And then the Bible also speaks about judgment in the sense that I'm to pass judgment on myself. We judge ourselves, the Bible said. We'll not be chastened of the Lord. If when we understand, hey, I got out of line right there. Take it to the Lord. Make a confession to the Lord. And if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the end time. There is a day of accountability to God. Let me give you a particular verse to look at first of all. It's in Romans 14. It's verses 10 and 12, but I'll just, 10, 11 and 12. But I want you to just look at verse 12 for a moment, where it says then, so every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Accountability. Every one of us will give an account of ourself unto God. I remember as a teenager, I just want to put it in so you know I was one time. As a teenager, my dad and mom slept in their bedroom. And my dad always slept with a flashlight under his pillow. And there was a clock on the wall at the foot of their bed. And it didn't matter what time I came home. He would take that flashlight and shoot it at that clock, put it back, and not say a word. But I knew in the morning, if I'm too late, I'm going to have an explanation. You know, that can cost you some nights of sleep. You can only have so many flats. You can only run out of gas so many times. Accountability. There's going to be an accountability in the morning. And that is true in our relationship with God. We're talking about believers now. Every one of us is one day going to give an account to the Lord. The judgment seat of Christ. It's the Bema. The Olympics are going on now. And at the Bema, the judgment seats where the awards were passed out. And this is the judgment seat of Christ where we're going to be gathered. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I guess it'll be posted up there somewhere. Verses 1 through 5 says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet I am hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And then there are other passages in 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us at the judgment seat of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 3, it tells us that every man's work, all the deeds that we perform, every man's work shall be tested by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And it talks about some works that are wood, hay, and stubble. And then there are works that are like gold, silver, and precious stones. And as they are tested by the fire, you understand, wood, hay, and stubble goes up in a puff of smoke. And the wood, hay, and stubble is are the gold, silver, precious stone purified by the fire. And our works are like that. Some of our works are like wood, hay, and stubble. They don't amount to anything of eternal value and will have no use at the judgment seat of Christ. And some of the things that we have done are of eternal value, and they'll stand the test by fire at the judgment seat of Christ. And there are a few things I'd like to share with you this evening about that judgment seat of Christ, where every believer is going to appear. For one thing, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a place of review, where our life is brought in review. I don't know all the records that God has kept of our life, but I'm pretty sure they're very thorough. He knows everything I have done. He knows everything I have thought. He knows everything that I wished I had done that I didn't do, and that I did do and wished I hadn't done. God has perfect records. And one day our life is going to stand in review. Looks at our actions. What did we do while we're down here on earth? Did we take advantage of the opportunities that God gave us? Are we good stewards of the gifts and talents that God has put in our hands? Are we using the gifts that He has gifted us with? Oh, that's going to be reviewed. Also, I think God is going to review our motives. Why did we do that? In Matthew 6 rather, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about motives. He says, when you fast, don't act like you're fasting. And when you give, don't let people brag about what you, don't brag about what you're giving and so forth. What's the reason that I did what I did? Did I do it so you'd pat me on the back? Or did I do it for the glory of God and for His honor and glory? Sometimes it's not always easy to have the right motive in what we do. We have a wonderful opportunity to do something and we think, boy, I must be important. This wonderful opportunity God has given me. But we just need to remember, are we going to do what we're doing because we love Jesus? Because we want to honor Him? If I could sing a solo, if I could, that would be, I'd agree, I'd want you to pat me on the back because I sure can't do that. But what we do, let's do it unto the Lord. And the Lord is going to review all the motives that we did. Why did we do what we do? And also, our Lord is going to review what did we accomplish? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, that's the kind of works that accomplish. When someone is led to Christ. God uses you to bring someone to Christ. Now that is an accomplishment that lasts throughout eternity. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing when you get to heaven to see people there that are there because you shared Jesus with them? I told them the old story of Jesus and His love. The judgment seat of Christ will be a place when all the activities of our life come into review before the one who knows the end from the beginning. Another thing about the judgment seat of Christ is it is going to be a place of reward. Reward. It's in Revelation, the 5th chapter, that talks about the time when we meet the Lord. And you know, the New Testament talks about different crowns of reward that believers can earn for what they have done. I think there are about 5 that are listed in the New Testament, crowns of reward. We don't get arrogant with those if we get any, because in Revelation chapter 5, what we do with those crowns, we take those crowns of reward and we cast them at Jesus' feet while we sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and majesty and power both now and forever. Would not that be a wonderful time to have some tribute like that to cast at Jesus' feet, to magnify his name for what he has done for us here upon this earth. Revelation 22 and verse 12 says, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." The Lord knows what we've done. He knows what we failed to do. And one day there is an award day. Jesus used an illustration one time about three men that he had given talents to. We're not talking about talents like we use the word, but in this case it's like money. But one man received five, and you know the story of the various talents. One man just had one talent, and he buried it and saved it. But Jesus awarded each one according to what they had done with the talent he had given them to invest. The one man had to take his, give it to someone else. Sometimes it is and we talk about gifts now, sometimes it is the one talent among us that are most often afraid to use it. But whatever abilities God has given you, whatever abilities God has given to any of us, it is our obligation and our responsibility to use it in the service of King Jesus. Some can do great things, mighty things, public things, and we all see that. And some are doing smaller things in the background, but God sees it all. Matthew 16:27 says, "The Son of Man shall come in his glory, the glory of his Father and of his angels, and shall reward every man according to his works." Romans 2:6, "He'll render to every man according to his deeds." And Ephesians 6:8, "Knowing that whatsoever good any man doeth, the same shall receive of the Lord that which he is, whether he be bond or free." So we're rewarded according to the word of God. James 2:12 says, "Speak ye, do as them that shall be judged out of the law of liberty." And then James describes the law of liberty as the word of God. As the word of God. And we're going to be regarded by test by fire. There in 1 Corinthians 3. As I mentioned earlier, some works go up in a puff of smoke. They have no eternal value. They are no eternal consequence. But others are the test and survive and are used in as a glory in eternity. And then also there's according to the quality of our service. You know, an ounce of gold is worth more than a ton of hay. Depends on what kind of business you're in, I guess. But the hay goes up in a puff of smoke. And we're rewarded according to our faithfulness. It's in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that it says, "Moreover, a steward is required that we be faithful." The one thing all of us can do is to be faithful in whatever place God has given us. Faithfulness to the Lord. I remember a man that I knew in Texas many years ago, grew up in Oak Cliff, part of Texas, and in poverty. His dad was an alcoholic. And his mother used to say, as they'd go to church, he said to him and his sister, "So now, you know, we don't have much money to put in the offering. And we don't have nice clothes like a lot of other people have, but we can be there every Sunday." And Jack said, "We were there every Sunday." And there came a time when God used him in a great way in his service. You see, the Lord uses what abilities we have that are dedicated to him. Use it for the glory of God. According to your faithfulness, be it unto you. And then we are also regarded about our willingness. I like this verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12 that says, "If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to what he hath not." Am I willing? If God would give me the ability, am I willing to do what God wants me to do? I knew a young man one day, God called him to preach, and he went through college and seminary and had hardly finished seminary when in a car wreck he was hit by a drunk driver and killed. And I've often thought about him because he was a really student. He loved the Lord. And he was willing. He never got to do the things that he was willing to do. But God knows what's in the heart. He knows what a person is willing to do with whatever things and abilities God has given them. And then also, we're going to be rewarded according to sacrifices. that we might make for the Lord. Some of us have made hardly any sacrifice. Some may have made great sacrifices, but at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be rewarded. No matter how small it is, Jesus gave that story about a drop of water. In Matthew 10:41-42, he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Bear this in mind. God keeps track of the little things. We often notice the big things, but God keeps track of all of it. The little as well as the big. The judgment seat of Christ, it's a place of reward. Another thing about this judgment seat of Christ is it's also going to be a place of reevaluation. Of reevaluation. How about the widow with her two mites? It amounted to almost nothing materially. And yet Jesus said she had given more than those that had cast in of their abundance, because she had given all of her substance. God reevaluates not in how big the item was or how small the item was, but what kind of sacrifice was made. Matthew 12 talks about that. You've read it many times and over and over again. A good, beautiful, beautiful story. I think about another one of reevaluation. The Apostle Paul, pastor has been taking us through the book of Acts on Sunday nights, and then in the Sunday school class where I attend, we've been going through the book of Acts, going through, well, we'll spend 6 months in the book of Acts, and it's a great study, and part of that, it's the main story of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. What a tremendous thing. What a tremendous man, this Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus, who was a murderer, but converted by the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and became a mighty apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember, it was near Damascus that he met Jesus and was saved. And then it was in Damascus that terrible uproar came as the people hated Paul because he was preaching Jesus, and they wanted him dead, not alive, they wanted him dead. And they had a garrison stationed at every exit from the city. They intended to kill this Apostle Paul. Not going to let him go out and preach anywhere else. We'll take care of him in Damascus, and that'll be the end of him. I don't know who the men were. The Bible never gives us their names. But there were some godly men who took the Apostle Paul and put him in a basket and let him down over the wall to escape in safety. I don't know their names, and you don't know their names, but the ministry of the Apostle Paul would have never taken place without their aid. God knows who they were. God reevaluates how our service is and what we did for the Lord. And when we look at it, we see one way, but when God looks, he sees the truth about the whole matter. Judgment seat of Christ. Another thing I need to say about the judgment seat of Christ, because it probably applies to every one of us. At the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be also a place of regret. A place of regret at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, how could it help but be a regret when our life is brought in review? And we see the times of failure, the times when we did not do what we knew we should have done, did not accomplish what we could have accomplished for the Lord. Place of regret. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says, if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Save man, the fire can't damage him, but all of the worthlessness of his activities while on earth are gone in a puff of smoke. Regret. Why did not know a better job? 1 John 2 and verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, the return of Christ, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his appearing." Did you note that line? When Jesus appears, to be ashamed? I think it will probably be the case in some of our lives. My Savior comes, who loved me and gave himself for me, who guided me and provided for me in the journey of life, and yet I failed here and I failed there. And there's a shame there. Lord, I didn't do nearly enough. In 2 John chapter 8, verse 8, just one chapter there, we're told, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. One day the end comes. We're saved, and we go to meet the Lord. And the judgment seat of Christ takes place. And as the judgment seat of Christ takes place, and the Lord examines our life and reveals it to us, here is a person that they had done a lot of good things, and but toward the end, they just sort of quit and wasted the rest of their life. Maybe a reward is lost. Receive a full reward. A full reward. As Paul came to the end of his life, faithfully he had served. He had paid great prices and sacrifice in the service of the Lord. And when he comes to the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, he says, "The time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." It ought to be the goal of every one of us as a Christian that we do our best, be faithful to the Lord all the days that we live, and when the end time comes, to be able to look at the Lord and say, "Thank you, Lord, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith." That would be a goal every one of us ought to have. Come to the end in great faithfulness to the Lord. One day we have this meeting at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want us to bow our heads now. Let's go ahead and stand while we bow our heads. And I want you to think about something very, very important. How's your journey coming along with the Lord? Are you seeking faithfulness to him? Are you giving him the best that you have? Most of us are not, I'm afraid, the best. But let's think we could do better. So let's pray, and then we'll sing a hymn of appeal. And each of us can pray right where we're standing. Or I'll be glad to pray with someone that wants to. But Father, we're here at the close of this service tonight. And we are thinking about a day when we'll meet you. For some here, it may be several more years. For some of us, the time is, of course, drawing near. But I pray as we think about you and who you are and what you have done for us in the past and what you have provided for us in the future, that in the light of what is to come, the days that you have given us, may we be faithful servants of yours. To witness where opportunity provides itself, to serve where places of service arise, and to keep our eyes on Jesus, and to be obedient to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.